Turn with me to Mark chapter 6 tonight. Mark chapter 6. And I'll give you a thought tonight from God's Word that I trust will be a blessing. Will be a blessing to you tonight. Mark chapter number 6. In verse number 45, we'll begin reading. The Bible said, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. And he would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them, unto the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered, into the villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole." If correctly read, that's verse 45 down through the end of the chapter. Let's pray just a moment tonight, and then I want to preach for just a little while on this thought. Grab an oar. We're headed for the shore. And I trust that God will use it tonight. I'll tell you what happened in Sister Nancy's life. She grabbed an oar. She realized back there in the 1970s, that there was a need. God put it in her heart. And she realized there was an oar that fit her hands. There was a job for her to do. And I believe that all of God's young'uns have a job to do. God has something for every one of us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would just encourage our hearts together. Thank you, Lord, tonight. For Jesus, our Savior. And Lord, thank you tonight for what our eyes have seen, for what our ears have heard. Lord, I pray the needs will be met there, Lord, in the little less than 2 acres in Peru. Many, many children, many teenagers, many adults will get to hear through the precious Word of God about Jesus. And Lord, I know that, Lord, that it's a special ministry. God, I know that you have a special purpose in that ministry, and I pray, Father, that you'll bless it. Use it for your glory as you have in days gone by. Lord, in that beautiful country, may there be many, many beautiful conversions where people come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. God, I pray now tonight you'd bless us and help us with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me share just a few things with you tonight from this text. And I know it's a text that's familiar. I know it's a text that you've probably read over and over and probably heard preached on over and over. But I want to give you some thoughts tonight as they've come to my heart. I want to look at two simple things tonight. Number one, the reason to grab an oar. And number two, the results when God's people grab that oar. A reason to grab the oar, and the results. I thought about something this week as God began to stir in my heart. I thought about back in those days, the oar most of the time was attached to the ship, and there was oars on both sides, and there was a timing involved that people would work together. How many believes the Bible teaches that God's people ought to work together? How many believes that God says we're laborers together with Him? How many believes He's the captain of the ship? How many believes He's the one that's supposed to be steering the ship? He's the one supposed to be guiding the ship. But you think, I'm just a country boy, but I know this well enough to know, just from being in a couple of boats in my lifetime where the oars were, they were on a swivel. If you just pull one, all you do is go around in circles. That's all you do. You just go around in circles. It's important, beloved, to pull them both. It's important to grab both oars if you're the only one rowing in the boat. I can remember a little while back that we were down in Florida. I was with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. We were staying at a boys' home. My wife and I and my two girls, Charity and Elizabeth. You remember that, Charity? Elizabeth and I went out in a canoe. And there was something that popped up above the water. It was a gator. I said, Elizabeth, whatever you do, do not stand up. And I said, whatever you do, do not turn this boat over. Amen. I did not feel impressed at all to be alligator bait. I thought there was more work for me to do. And so it was important that she and I rowed at the right timing and the right way, that we grabbed the oar and got away from the gator. Amen. I just felt impressed to do so. Now, I'm going to give you some things tonight, and I believe with all of my heart that if all of God's people had a hold of the oar that God wanted them to have a hold of, and were rowing the way that God wanted them to row, that things in the ship go much better. Somebody help me. Amen. And the Word of God said here, Jesus saw them toiling in rowing. Rowing is work. Somebody help me tonight. I hate to say this, but we're living in a generation where more people's looking to get out of work than get into it. And that doesn't just include this old world we live in. That's the church world too. There's a lot of people just riding the ship to the shore and never do anything to pull on an oar. Help me tonight. I'm not ill tonight. It's just the truth. And you say, preacher, I don't know why you'd preach such a thing. I tell you why. I want you to be blessed when you get to the shore. I want you to hear the captain of the ship say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'll tell you something tonight. If we're just riding along, that's not going to happen. Amen. Let me give you some things tonight. The reason to grab an oar, number one, because there's a word to constrain God's people. Look at chapter 6, verse 45. The Bible said, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before into Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. There's a word from God right here that constrained the disciples to get in the ship. Let me ask you something tonight. Do you understand tonight that God has given all of his children a word to grab an oar, get in the ship? You're going somewhere, amen? That we're headed for the shore. The reason we ought to do it, number one, is because God said to. We have a word from God, amen? And he said to. The second thing that I see in the reason to grab the oar is because there's a way that is charted for God's people. You say, preacher, I don't see that. Look at verse number 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. You say, preacher, I don't understand. What do you mean, a way that's charted? How many believes with all of your heart that God knew when he sent them from the shore to the other shore, there was a storm affixing to meet them out there? They were going under the direction of God. And by the way, I don't know what your TV evangelist does with this. Amen. But they were in God's will doing what God told them to do. And they encountered a storm in the midst of the sea. That outfit's lost their mind. telling you that if you love God and serve God, it'll all be peaches and cream. There's no Bible anywhere for such a thing as that. You can love God and serve God and still be driving a 1991 Nissan Sentra. Amen. Here in the Word of God, there's a way that's charted for God's people. They were doing what God wanted them to do. And Jesus was up in the mountain, no doubt, praying for them. No doubt he's on the throne tonight praying for you, praying for me, making intercession for us tonight. The third reason I see to grab the door is because there's a word to constrain God's people. There's a way that's charted for God's people. But then there's a wind that's contrary to God's people. Well, to grab an oar because, beloved, the storm will come. I believe it was Brother Mays that said either God's people are coming out of a storm or they're in a storm or they're headed for a storm. The storms will come. I told this story before, I believe. And in a way, it's hilarious, but if you were there, it wasn't funny at the time. I bought an old boat when I was in Maryland. I looked like Sanford and Son moving to Virginia. I had the back of the truck full of my belongings. The boat was full of my belongings. And it was pulling it behind the pickup truck and coming down Interstate 81. The boat was an old fiberglass boat. It was heavy. It had a 40-horsepower Evinrude motor on it. My dad and I took it out on South Holston Lake. And the thing just putted around. I believe a trolling motor could do better than that 40-horsepower Evinrude was doing. And my dad, he adjusted and he fiddled and he adjusted and he fiddled. And we went and made that trip, come back in. I was so disappointed. I'd been lied to. They told me that it ran good. I'd never had it in the water before. It didn't run too good. We went out the second time and we putted across the lake and we caught a few little bluegill and Dad almost caught a bass by accident. He was reeling in the bluegill when the bass came after the bluegill. But with a 6-pound test line and an ultralight pole and I think a number 6 hook on the end, I don't think the bass was in any trouble at all if he decided to swallow the bluegill. We were having a good time, and all at once in the distance, there was thunder, and there was lightning. And I said, well, maybe it'll go around us. Dad said, yes, son, maybe it will. We were enjoying ourselves, fishing. And all of a sudden, we realized, no, it ain't going around us. We better get out of here. And so we started up that Evinrude motor. I kept telling my dad, I said, Dad, that thing's got to do better than that. He said, son, that's all it'll do. I said, Dad, come on, it's got to do better than that. It's a 40-horsepower motor. He said, son, I'm telling you, I've adjusted on it. I've worked on it every way you can work on it. That's all it's got. That's all it's going to do. We were coming out across through there, and it got so bad, the waves began to come up over the windshield, and the water began to come in the boat. And I'm telling you, I can swim, but I don't think I can swim South Holston Lake in a storm like that. Our lives were in jeopardy. When the Bible said here they were afraid, I can relate to that. I saw it on the little boat in Israel. We got out, so help me, got out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And the storms come down quickly. They had what they called the Jesus boat. Some of us on that boat could swim. Some couldn't swim. And there was fear in their eyes and in their face when the waves begin to come up and splash up, the water begin to splash up on the boat. I told my dad, I'm up there behind the windshield. I've got the little steering wheel. He's back there in the back. Hey, I said, Dad, come on. It's got to do better than that. He said, son, that's all it's got. And for the life of me, when we didn't know if we were going to make it or not, how many knows what varnish is in a carburetor? Old gas gets in there and it just sets up around the needle valves and things and it doesn't allow the fuel to pass through the way that it should. We ought to, my friend, grab an oar because, listen, we're going to face some storms before we get out of this world. The wind is contrary. I was up there hunkered down behind the windshield, water going over my head, Dad with a coffee can bailing it out of the boat. And all of a sudden, that boat said something like this, womp, 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 womp. It stood up on the prop. And we were going out across the waves going, just a minute, we were at the shore. I'm not kidding. It took us 45 minutes to get where we were fishing, and it didn't take 5 minutes to get back when the motor started running like it should. When it did that, it threw me. I'm hunkered down like this. I'm not sitting in a seat. It threw me backwards into my dad's lap. I had to crawl to back to the front of the boat and get a hold of the steering wheel. And I remember this. Even as we were going across the waves like that, turning around and looking at my dad and saying, I told you, it could do better than that. Reminds me, Brother John, of the Sunday school lesson when you said, we can do better. I believe everybody can grab an oar and do better than what we're doing for the glory of God Almighty. The reason to grab the oar, there's a word to constrain us. There's a way that's charted for God's people. And there's a wind that's contrary. He saw them toiling. They were working, for the wind was contrary under them. About the fourth watch of the night, it's dark. It's very dark. It's dangerous. But here comes the Savior, just in time. The songwriter said coming down the road was Jesus right on time. You can say right here coming across the sea was Jesus right on time. Jesus can walk on the road and he can walk on the sea because he's God. He made it all. A reason to grab the oar. What's the result of grabbing the oar? What would happen in a group of people's lives? What happened here in the disciples' lives as a result of them grabbing an oar and toiling and rowing? Number one, let me give you this. They were honored by his presence. How many believes Jesus shows up when people get a hold of the oar? Amen. We're laborers together with God. The word of God said when he saw them walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. They didn't understand at first, but the very presence of Almighty God was there with them in the storm because they were willing to do what God told them to do. The second thing that I see as a result of grabbing the oar is they heard his voice. The Bible said here in verse number 50 that they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately, notice these words, he talked with them. I say glory to God. Aren't you glad when the wind's contrary? You're doing all you can do. There's one that'll show up and talk with you. Walk with you along the way. His name is Jesus. He talked with them. He had something to say. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I'll tell you something right now. If you've ever been through a storm in your life, heard the master of the sea step out on the bow of the ship and say, it's all right, youngins. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. The word of God said, perfect love casteth out fear. I tell you, if he ever shows up in your storm, you'll love him the rest of your days. What a blessing it is, the result of grabbing the oar. They were honored by his presence. They heard his voice. Then they were helped by his words. You say, preacher, what did his words do? Several things. The first thing I see is words removed their fear. I believe, beloved, that heart that was fearful, all of a sudden became a heart that was encouraged, a heart that was full of faith instead of full of fear. His words, my friend, not only removed their fear, but his words revived their faith. Look what the word of God said in verse number 51. And he went up unto them in the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Let me tell you something right now. It's good to wonder at his goodness. It's good to wonder at his presence. It's good to wonder at his power. Aren't you glad? Thank God he has power over the storm. The word of God teaches that his words revived their faith. But then let me give you this. His words rebuked their folly. And you and I need that every once in a while. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me give you one. Look what the Bible said. The Bible said here in verse number 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You say, preacher, what do you mean rebuke their folly? Let me just say this. Get a hold of this tonight. Please get a hold of this. Listen to what I'm about to say. Beloved, these disciples that are out there rowing and toiling and they're facing the contrary wind, if they could have just thought for a moment, the same one that could take 5 loaves and 2 small fishes and feed 5,000 men besides the women and children can handle this storm that I'm going through. But their heart was hardened. They considered not. Isn't it amazing how sometimes God's people forget what God has already done in their life? Beloved, if he didn't do anything but save us, we ought to stand right there and say, praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, he saved me. And if he can handle my salvation, he can handle my storm tonight. He can take care of the need in my life. His words rebuked their folly. Sometimes I believe this evening, I think when we doubt God, we're being foolish. How we ought to trust him. How we ought to lean on him. How we ought to understand tonight that he's the one at the helm of the ship. Our job is to grab an oar and just row. Because we're headed somewhere as God's people. We're God's youngins. We're going to the shore. We used to sing a song, Brother Ralph, I don't know if the choir sung it here or not, but down at Liberty, we used to sing a song, Nearing the Shore. Boy, I love that song. We're nearing the shore. Troubles soon be over. We'll suffer no more. I tell you, God's people every once in a while ought to just say, hallelujah, we're nearing the shore. Hallelujah is a word I can't spell. I never can. I always have to look it up. I was texting somebody the other day and I didn't have time to look it up. So I typed Hal, H-A-L, Lay, L-A-Y, Lou, L-O-U, Yah, Y-A. Hallelujah. You don't have to be able to spell to shout. You don't have to be able to spell to know it's time to grab an oar. It's time to grab the oar. I believe tonight there's a reason to grab the oar, the result of grabbing the oar. The last thing I want to give you in the message tonight to think about is this. There's a welcome to consider for God's people. Look at verse 53. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. What did they do when they got over there? They were welcomed. You know God's people are going to be welcomed home one day soon. But when they got to the shore where they were going, what they were able to do as a result of grabbing the oar, they helped others to Jesus. I believe that ought to be the mission of this church. Not just through worldwide missions, definitely through worldwide missions, but locally as well. Across the street, across the sea, our mission ought to be helping others to Jesus. That's why I want to grab the oar. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at it in verse number 54. They come out of the ship straightway. They knew him. And they ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into the villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. I'm telling you, they're having a time. You want to know why they're having a time? Because they put their hands on the oar. When the wind was contrary, I'm going to tell you something right now. You think about this for just a moment. God's given us now, Mother's Day will be 5 years together. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I tell you what, we have been blessed. We've been so blessed. But who knows what that sixth year might look like? Who knows what contrary wind we're sailing right into? I'm talking about under the direction of the Holy Ghost, you can be sailing right into a storm that you don't even see tonight. And you know what's going to make the difference? It's whether or not God's people have manned their post, have a hold of their oar, and pulling together as the people of God. I remember this illustration. My dad told me about it. And it really wasn't an illustration that Dad heard about. It was an illustration that Dad lived out. Back in the days when my dad was growing up, there was no such thing as a home like chainsaw or a Husqvarna or a steel chainsaw. Back in those days, Brother Thurman, there was what they called a crosscut. And my dad was on one side as a young boy, young man, and his dad was on the other side. And that crosscut saw is generally 7 or 8 foot long, and it's got two handles sticking up on it. And what the ideal is to pull and push and pull and push and pull and push. Now, when you're pulling, the guy on the other side's pushing. And when you're pushing, the guy on the other side's pulling. How many can see that in your mind? Amen. An old cross cut saw. Some of you don't have to see it in your mind. You've lived it. You know what it is. Amen. Reminds me of a joke I heard one time. One of them guys, that's all he ever knew was a cross cut. He brought a chainsaw, took it back to the hardware. He said, "This thing won't cut anything. It's no good." The man at the hardware flipped the choke, flipped the switch, pulled the rope, and when it started, the other guy said, "What's that?" I guarantee you ain't going to cut much wood with a chainsaw if you don't start it. My dad said this. He said, "Son," he said, "your grandpa would look across the log at me and say, 'Son, quit riding the saw.'" How many knows what it means to ride the saw? That means, you got it, ain't you, Brother James? Amen. That means when I'm a pulling, you're just riding. You're not pushing. And when I'm a pushing, you're just riding. You're not pulling. And you can camouflage that. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, somebody that knows about it's the one that's on the other end of the saw. You can be going through the motions and not be putting anything into it. I believe that's exactly where a lot of God's people are. Going through the motions. Not putting anything into it. My dad said his dad would say to him, "Son, I said, quit riding the saw." Dad said he never did say it the third time. He said the third time, he said, whatever he could get his hands on was coming down around you. Amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? Them old timers didn't fool around. Amen. They knew how to apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning. And Dad said, "You know what you did?" He said, "You got back on the saw and you didn't ride it anymore." He said, "When it was time to push, you pushed. And when it was time to pull, you pulled." Let me say this to you tonight. Grab an oar. Don't just ride it. Pull on that thing. Pull in time. Let's make sure we're in time with our Lord and our Savior. Let's make sure when that wave crashes out in front of us coming over and we think the ship's going down, let's make sure we've got a hold of the oar. We're not running around somewhere trying to find it. But we've already got it in our hand. We're determined by the grace of God, I'm going to do my part. You know, tonight in a church, any church, there's, I guess, what people consider important jobs and what people maybe would consider menial jobs. Let me tell you something. Every oar that God gives a believer is important to God. And it's important to the ship that everybody has that oar in their hand. Everybody's doing what God wants them to do. There are no big I's and little U's in the family of God. our Savior tonight. Just wanted to say to the church tonight, grab an oar, because we're headed for the shore. I thank God that we are. We may be there, as Brother Steve so happily said a while ago, before our Be a Blessing Day. Amen. We don't know. I'm looking forward to the Christmas play, but can I tell you for sure I'll be here for it? Nope. Can I tell you for sure any of us will be here for it? Nope. I just know this. Until he comes, God be my helper. I can't do somebody else's part, but I do want to do my part. I want my hands on the oar. I want to pull and pull till he comes, and there's no need to pull anymore. I thought about this. Think about this for just a minute. I don't know if it's got anything to do with anything, but isn't it something that in the book of Revelation, there's no more sea? Just think about that. Round about the throne was likened to a sea of glass, the Bible said. In other words, things are going to be calm. There's no more sea. Nothing else to divide. Nothing else for the storm to boil up in. Amen. But until then, grab an oar. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your people. I pray, God, tonight you'd use this in our hearts, in our lives. Thank you for Miss Nancy being here tonight, Lord. Thank you for the evidence, our Father, not just in a few minutes, but in several decades of dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the evidence, Lord, that she has a hold of that oar for her life. And I pray, God, tonight that each one of us as born-again believers would realize, Lord, I think some people think sometimes, well, Lord, I can't do anything. Lord, every one of us can do what you want us to do. Lord, I can remember my grandfather saying, when God calls us, he qualifies us. God, I pray tonight that each one of your children would grab an oar. Realize, Lord, it's not going to be long. We're going to pull in to heaven's bright shore. Lord, we love you tonight.